With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be reviewing all the action from last weekend's FA Cup matches. We'll also be reviewing the midweek matches in the league and in the replays. Plus, we'll also be previewing this weekend's matches in the league. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. But before all of that, it's now time to hand over to me at Hurst Cross in Ashton-under-Lyne.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra, and welcome to the home of Ashton United, Hurst Cross. We're here on Tuesday night for the proper big encounter between Ashton United and Buxton. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be hearing from both sets of managers. But before that, we've just had a weekend of spills, shocks and outright glory in the FA Cup. So over to Cockers with all the results.
Thanks, Ben, and it's been an epic weekend for some of our sides in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. Firstly, result of the day goes to Lancaster City of Division 1 North, who defeated their National League North opponents by 2-1 in front of nearly 600 supporters at the Giant Axe. Also taking part in some brilliant giant killing were Division 1 South side Lincoln United. They also dispatched National League North opposition, in their case Nuneaton Town, 2-1 away from home. And not to be outdone, AFC Rushton and Diamonds gave the National League South a bit of NPL love as well, knocking out Concord Rangers 3-1 away from home. Also through from Division 1 South are Bedworth United. They defeated Chasetown with a solitary goal away from home. And from the North, Farsley Celtic beat Tadcaster Albion 2-0. From the Prem, also through our Starbridge, they defeated Michelover Sports 2-1 away from home on Saturday, while fellow Black Countryside Hales Owen also booked a place in the next round, defeating Belper Town by 1-0 at the Grove. While Matlock Town defeated Kidsgrove Athletic 2-1 away to make it into the hat for the third qualifying round of this season's FA Cup. Back over to you, Ben.
Thanks, Cockers. So, some unbelievable results there, and big congratulations to all who made it through to the next round, especially Lancaster City, Lincoln United and Rushton and Diamonds, who have proved once and for all that you can come on the show and thrive in your next game, no problem at all. To some of those other results, though, from Saturday, and one of the big games in the second qualifying round happened in the North East on Saturday afternoon, and it involves Spennymoor and Whitby Town. And Spennymoor won by 1-0 in front of a crowd of 607. Here is Spennymoor coach Alan White speaking with Spennymoor TV after the game.
It was a tight one though. What did you feel was the difference?
Today? Yeah. It's the goal, pretty much. You know, it sounds obvious, but there wasn't much in it. I went to watch them on Tuesday, and they're a good team. They play lots of good football. They like to pass the ball around. You know, they're a good football team. They've got some good lads in there. And we weren't tight enough first half. We didn't get up against them. We wanted to press them and get tight and close the space down, and we didn't really do it first half. So therefore, we got caught out occasionally, especially down the wings with their fullbacks. We just weren't tight enough. We addressed it at half time. Second half was a lot better for us. We were a bit closer to their players. We got in their faces a bit more. We got a lot more second ball, and we were winning the ball higher up the pitch, which meant we were getting the ball in dangerous positions, and then we could join in. The fullbacks could join in. It's just our intensity was a bit more there second half, and that was the difference for us. We managed to get the goal, but I mean, we looked threatening on occasions, but not enough for me. You know, we were caught out a little bit in the first half because we didn't get tight enough, and they can play. They've got some good footballers, and they did it well.
Do you expect a similar game Tuesday night, or would they be do you expect them to come here and maybe push a bit harder, or?
I'd expect it to be a very, very similar sort of thing that they'll put together. They didn't do much wrong, you know. They'll be looking at that and thinking they had a few chances to score. We obviously created a few chances, but not many. But we know we can do a lot better than that. You know, we're a better team than that. If we start in the right positions and we start high up and we get up against them, stop them playing, win the ball, then we play our football, because we're not a long ball team by any means. So they're a football team. We are as well. With Glenn playing so well, we've got the option to go up to him, same way as the 10 does for them. But I think Tuesday will be a very, very similar game, except that hopefully we're a bit more at the races in the first half. We were just off the pace a little bit, and we give them a little bit too much respect, maybe, because they're good on the ball. We sat off, and you can't do that. You've got to do the opposite. You've got to close down.
Glenn's on fire at the moment, isn't he? I mean, all of our strikers have scored a few goals each this season so far. It's a luxury that teams have.
He's done great. I mean, all the way through pre-season, he was working hard. He looked good in training. Done well in the pre-season friendlies. He's looked sharp in training all through the season as well, once the season kicked off, as has Fish, Tommy and Army. You know, they've all been pushing really hard, but we've not had someone who's out of those four or five lads who's gone, right, I'm the man, I'm the number one striker, you know. They've all done well. They haven't done great, but they've all done okay. Scored a few goals here and there. Glenn, I think he's the first one out of all of them who's gone, there, I'm going to be the one. As long as he keeps it up, he's sort of stepped up and gone, right, I'll do it. I'm going to be big, I'm going to be physical, I'll get hold of it, I'll score a few goals, I'll get on the end of crosses, I'll work hard, I'll get him behind, because he can move as well, he's mobile. He's got a bit of everything, Glenn. And as long as he's got his confidence, if his head's in the right place, which it is at the moment, and he's looking good and confident, he's got the ability to score a lot of goals and do a great job for us. So it's great that he's now thrown down that sort of gauntlet for the forwards, and the rest of them are going, right, that's what we need to do now to get into the team to steal his spot, because they're all good centre forwards. You know, they've all got lots of ability but different abilities. So I'm pleased for Glenn. Yeah, it's just, I think with him it's a little bit of confidence, because he was outside the team, he missed out on the bench a little bit, and he was maybe doubting himself a little bit. And I had a little chat with him and said, if you just do what you do in training and what you've shown in pre-season, just believe in yourself, don't overthink it, just be Glenn Taylor. And he's done it, and he looks a right handful. I wouldn't like marking him.
Good to hear. So yeah. Well done for today. Yeah. On to the next round.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Alan White there speaking with Spennymoor TV. So Spennymoor through, as are Ilkeston. They had a good 1-0 win away at Barwell on Saturday. Here is the manager, Paul Holland, speaking with Ilkeston TV after the match.
Nice win in the FA Cup on Saturday for you.
Yeah, it was, you know, a great day. I thought the performance was very good throughout the 90 minutes. Obviously, they put us under a bit of pressure the last 10 minutes, which is always going to happen in a cup game. But I thought, you know, we were comfortable winners, really. It could have been more than one. But, you know, you would have took that before the game, so I'm delighted.
Yeah, so, and like I've said to Matt earlier, it's Barwell's always been a difficult place to go to, hasn't it? But it didn't seem to be as difficult for us this time.
No, I went to watch them a couple of weeks ago in their replay in the FA Cup, and, you know, they tried to play football. The pitch was nice, so, you know, it is a difficult place to go. You know, they're not a bad team. I think they've got a number of players who on the day can be match winners. But, you know, I thought that we defended very well and we looked dangerous going forward. And, you know, Anton made a big difference to us coming in. And just, you know, I know what Anton can give us. And I think we've lacked that when Anton's not been there. So hopefully he can get a run of games now.
Yeah, how close is Anton to match fitness? Because obviously, in his first game against Ashton, he hadn't played for a couple of weeks, and now he's been out again. He performed really well, but would you say he's not actually up to match fitness yet?
No, he's definitely not. He's probably 3 or 4 weeks off a fully fit Anton Brown. But, you know, he shows the value of having him in that side, you know, the physical presence he's got and a bit of experience. So, you know, we're getting there. Obviously, we've got two tough games in the league now, but again, games that are important. The league's always going to be the most important thing for us. The cup is a, you know, a brilliant bonus, and we want to go as far as we can in that. So, you know, we've got to start performing in the league, and now we've got, you know, players back, and, you know, with players that we're still looking to bring in. I'm sure that, you know, over the next month we'll try, you know, find us true places in the league.
That's great. Cheers. Thanks for your time, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul Holland there speaking to Ilkeston TV. Also through to the next round are Workington. They had a tough game against Shildon and won by 3-1 in front of a crowd of 563 supporters. BBC Cumbria caught up with Lee Andrews after the game.
Well, it's always good to make progress in the FA Cup, and 3-1, it was a good result in the end.
Yeah, I think it was. I think first half we were a little bit late. We'd probably look at half time to go one in 1-0 up, but I think first half an hour of the second half, I think we totally dominated, and that's when the game was won.
Yeah, Shildon knocked the ball around confidently, didn't they, first half, and they looked a capable side.
Yeah, they did. They knocked it. We knew they would come and try and play a little bit of football, but we were a little bit disappointed that we weren't in the faces, making it hard for them. We probably made it a little bit easy the first half hour. We spoke at half time to the lads about it, and credit to them, they came out in the second half and put things right.
And you needed another penalty save, second in successive matches from Aaron Taylor, to keep you in front at half time.
Yeah, it was a great save. I think we've probably come to expect that from Aaron now, which we probably shouldn't do, but we all know what Aaron's about, what he can give us in goals.
And the goal, of course, but that give us the lead on 25 minutes, a wonderful finish from Scott Allison.
Yeah, it was. I think it was important for him because he'd missed that one-on-one about 2 minutes earlier. I think James Earl done brilliant breaking through midfield, slipped a great ball through, and to be fair to Scott, he didn't think about it, just smashed it in front, straight in the top corner.
So yeah, good finish, yeah. And the start of the second half, Lee, two goals in the first 12 minutes, that really put you on your way, didn't it?
Yeah, we came out on the front foot second half, scored two good goals. Maybe the third one was a bit fortunate, the deflection, but I think we deserved that little bit of luck the way we came out second half.
You haven't told Joe that's an own goal, have you?
Yeah, I tried to, but...
I tried to wind him up. And what about Conor Tinn? How many times does he score with his head?
I think Conor's better with his head than people give him credit for, to be honest. I think he's decent with his head, and it was fair play to him. He gambled back post. It wasn't an easy one. Got his head on it and finished it well.
The only downside, I suppose, was that you didn't keep a clean sheet. It's always good to keep a clean sheet, and they got that penalty, a second penalty, late on this time, scored it.
Yeah, I think we're disappointed with that, but I think it was just tired legs at the end. It's been a hot day. The lads worked so hard, and I think it was just a little bit of tired legs at the end.
One of the lads I want to pick out, I know you management team don't like going along with picking single players out, but I thought in your old position, Lee, Josh Calvert was outstanding again today.
Yeah, as Josh has been brilliant all season, to be fair to us, and today he's just carried on what he's done all season. I think he was brilliant. I think James Earl, he gets maybe a little bit of stick from people, but I think today James Earl, he drove us forward and he was brilliant against us, James.
The only disappointing downside now, we've just learned, is, Lee, that we can't follow up on Tuesday because the game with Marine is off. Marine drew in the FA Cup, so we'll replay. I mean, how big a blow is that?
It is a little bit because you want the momentum, but we've got in there, got a lot of tired legs in there. There's a couple of lads got a little niggles, so it might not be the worst thing just having a week off and just recharge our batteries.
Well, that's great. We'll wait for the draw on Monday dinner time to see who we play in the next qualifying round, but this could be the year.
Hopefully, yeah.
Please, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, thanks.
And a big thank you to BBC Cumbria for that interview there. You're listening to Evo Stick Extra here, pre-recorded live on Tuesday night at Hurst Cross. Interviews with Ashton United and Buxton coming up in a second or two, plus a full fixture preview for the Premier Division matches taking place this weekend. But just staying with the FA Cup for a tiny bit longer. Also on Tuesday evening, as well as this big game here at Hurst Cross in the league, there were some pretty big FA Cup second qualifying round replays. And to hear how our sides got on in those matches, it's back over to Cockers now. Cockers.
Thanks, Ben. Well, Tuesday night's replays saw two sides through to the next round from the Northern Premier League, and sadly they came from two all-NPL ties. Through to the next round, though, we have Nantwich Town, who defeated Marine 3-2 away from home in an epic replay encounter on Merseyside. While Stamford also made it through to the next round, knocking out Gresley with a late Samuel Hill goal on Tuesday evening. So we have plenty of clubs through to the third qualifying round of this season's FA Cup. In the All-Premier Division ties, Hales Owen will host Nantwich, Ilkeston will host Starbridge, and Matlock will play Workington, while Spennymoor Town will host our old friends Chorley. From Division 1 North, Farsley Celtic will host Bishop Auckland, while Lancaster City will be playing Kidderminster Harriers. And in Division 1 South, Lincoln United will be hosting Handsworth Paramore, Bedworth United will travel to Curzon Ashton, Stamford will travel to AFC Mansfield, while AFC Rushton and Diamonds will take on Hendon away from home. Back over to you, Ben.
Welcome back to Hurst Cross, and I'm here on Tuesday night just before the big league match between third placed Ashton United and second placed Buxton. Before kickoff, I caught up with the new management duo here at Ashton, Jody Banham and Will Haining. So a big congratulations on your appointment, gentlemen.
Thank you.
This is a really big time for the club. The league is wide open, I feel, and Ashton United well placed. What's your expectations for this season?
Well, not to sound too confident, obviously we want to win the league, and anything less than that, not because Struz is failure, but obviously then we go to the playoffs, but we're aiming as high as possible at this moment in time. We think that, you know, we've got a good squad of players and we can keep them together. We've got a really good chance of doing something special this year.
And normally when you have a change of management, the way this club's gone through that change of management, a couple of players have gone over to Stalybridge. There hasn't been too much of a departure. That's going to be beneficial, isn't it?
We've lost, if you look at it, we've lost five players.
Not a Ramsbottom as to Salford,
yeah,
is it?
but at the end of the day, it's five players, it's half a team, isn't it? So Yeah, it's been disappointing to lose that many, but it was always going to happen with, obviously, with Steve and Philo going over. But we've been looking around since me and Jody's come in, and we've not rushed into bringing people in, because I think you can do that and bring them in just to make the numbers up. But we wanted to identify the people who we thought can improve what we've got here, and who can help us out going forward. So over the past 2 weeks, we've slowly but surely went about our business, and we've brought in so far 4 players, which is going to enhance the squad, and we're still looking, hopefully, possibly 1 or 2 more still to come.
And the past management duo and the way Aston United plays, it's very, well, how can I put it, very characteristic of Aston United. What's your philosophy of football? Not to make you sound like Louis van Gaal, but...
I think we've discussed this previously. We want to win football matches, and you know, we'll set our teams up accordingly to, you know, to win games. Sometimes we'll be able to play nice, pretty football. Other times we may have to grind it out. You know, it's a kind of philosophy. We want to get promoted, and you know, we'll do whatever it takes to do that.
And admittedly, it's September, but this is a, I don't want to use the word 6-pointer, but this is a big game against Buxton tonight, and I've not spoken to Martin yet, but I'm imagining he's got the same thinking as you about getting out of this league this season. This is a big game. How are you going into it?
Yeah, like you say, it's a big game. We're at home. We want to win the game. They sit above us in the league table at the minute. We know all about Buxton. They're a good team. They're there or thereabouts, like ourselves. And tonight is a big test for us as a squad, and also a big test for me and Jody as managers.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck. Not too much luck equals Buxton, but a big congratulations on your appointment, and all the best for the coming season.
Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Aston United's new permanent management duo there. So that's Aston United. What about the visitors, Buxton? Earlier, I caught up with manager Martin McIntosh.
So we're now joined by Martin McIntosh on this beautiful, surprisingly beautiful, Hurst Cross pitch. I think you're coming at it at the right time of year. What are you expecting tonight?
A tough match as always with Aston. They've been up there for the last 3 years with the previous managers, and I've no doubt the two fellas that have come in, they know the club well, and they will have them well drilled again.
Now, you've made an excellent start to the season, if you don't mind me saying, and it seems to me, and I was speaking to the other two earlier, this league is now as open as it's ever been for up at the top end. Do you feel Buxton are in the mix for this season?
Well, at the moment we are. You know, we have started well in the last 2 seasons and fallen away through one reason or another. So hopefully, you know, we can keep things going and keep the consistency. But with, you know, the small squad that we always have, you know, sometimes injuries, suspensions, and also it just seems that after the first 12-15 games a season, everyone wants her players, and that's hurt us in the past.
Well, how are you going to combat that this season to try and keep the momentum going? Because that's always been Buxton's problem, like you say.
It is, but as I say, you know, when you overachieve like we do at the start of every season, everyone wants her players. You know, we lose Hardy, we lose Burrell, we lose Tootin, we lose Ash Palmer. We lose Mark Roberts, all these players, Danny Burns is gone, all these players are playing in the league now, and you know, we give them a platform, but you know, I'm sure, you know, Danny Burns has just been sold to the Gateshead. I'm sure there'll be more that'll go between now and end of the season.
I suppose that's a compliment really, more than anything, but
it is. But as a manager, you want to keep all your players, you know, Tim and I work really hard with them, and then you know, when they go, we're delighted for them, but at the same time, you know, it's not great for us, but you know, we'll keep going and carry on with the job in hand.
Now, the weekend, you just the last question on the weekend, you played Corby, and Corby obviously is in the Northern Premier League, but he's further south than I can possibly imagine with this haircut and accent. One thing that confused me about Corby is they don't score that many goals. They don't concede that many goals. What did you make of Corby, just as somebody who's played them quite recently?
I thought they were solid. Thought they were organised. I think, you know, if I'm going to be honest, they looked like they didn't want to get beat, as opposed to, really going and taking a chance and wanting to win the match. They got everyone behind the ball, but you know, fair play. If that's their style of play, that's their style of play. And I would prefer to take a bit of a chance. But you know, Tommy's a great lad, and you know, he knows the game, and he's been around the football for a long, long time. So you know, maybe you don't know what's at his disposal. So
it's cracking statistics, though. That this really is at this stage of the season. And just lastly, this is a big game today. It's second against third. What's your prediction for tonight?
Well, we'll go into the game positive, as will Ashton. I'm sure there'll be goals. You know, it's who doesn't make the most mistakes. But you know, we love playing Ashton. Ashton love playing us. It's always a good competitive match, and we love playing each other. That's why I'm here.
So it's now time to welcome you all back to the studio. We had a lovely night at Hurst Cross. A big thank you to Ashton United for their excellent hospitality. And what a game Tuesday night turned out to be. The first half, Ashton United were on it really, in a bit of control, I have to say. Buxton were playing the way Ashton would like them to play, I think. Then in the second half, well, the substitutions started to happen and Buxton started to get the ball on the deck, going down the wings. And, well, they won 3-1 in the end with two goals coming in stoppage time. So, congratulations to Buxton on that win. A great evening. 242 there at Hurst Cross. And as I said, a big thank you to the host, Ashton United, and for Buxton. It was a great evening. But we're now back in the studio. Hello, James. How are you? James Hayes is here with me.
Hello, Ben. How are you doing today?
James Hayes isn't here in my studio bedroom, just to say he's in his own gaff. But welcome, James Hayes, from the MPL Facebook group. Also, just to add, a big thank you also to BBC Radio Cumbria, Ilkeston TV and Spennymoor Town FC on YouTube. Big thank you to all those interviews that you conducted, which we've nabbed. Very kind of you. It's a new experiment we've done on this week's show. Dear listener, let us know what you thought about the experiment, whether you like all these interviews coming in left, right and centre and all the pre-match build-up and that kind of thing. It's something new I've tried for this week's show, just to see what it would sound like. So it's as close to Five Lives non-league show that we're ever going to get that. So anyway, back to this. We're recording this on Thursday. I'm getting used to this now. There's breaking news happening all over the place, so we're going to be covering that off in a second, plus all the fixture previews for this weekend. But to find out now what happened on Tuesday night, it's now time to hand over to Cockers for a review of all the results from the Premier Division.
Thanks, Ben. Blyth suffered a second successive defeat, and it was a second successive win for Frickley under recently appointed manager Lee Morris. The deciding goal didn't arrive until 4 minutes from time, though, when Rhys Maynall headed in a free kick. Whitby Town moved into third place and maintained their unbeaten record after another 1-0 outcome at the Brewery Field against Spennymoor. In contrast, Sutton Coldfield Town are still searching for a first league win after being held to a 1-1 draw by Stafford Rangers. Michelover Sports moved up to 7th place, leapfrogging Warrington Town after a 1-0 win at home, courtesy of Andy Dale's 55th minute effort. Matlock Town are now 9th after a comfortable 4-1 win at Owen Street against Colville Town. While Grant Ryan gave Grantham Town the lead at Kirkby Road against Barwell, but the host made it 4 draws from 8 matches when Liam Kay equalised 50 minutes from time. And lastly, the game between Ilkeston FC and Hensford Town was abandoned with only 5 minutes to go at the New Manor ground due to floodlight failure, with the Pitmen leading 2-1 at the time. And that concludes all the results from Tuesday night in the league. Back over to you, Ben.
So Cocker's there with a roundup of all the Premier Division results. The big one on Tuesday night was obviously Frickley Athletic beating Blyth Spartans there by 1-0. A good result that for Frickley Athletic. Second win of the season now. They've got a bit of momentum going, I feel. But the main news that's breaking on Thursday lunchtime, as we record this, is now Tom Wade has stepped down as Blyth manager. Big shock that, James, isn't it?
It is indeed. I mean, the last two results haven't necessarily been the best for him. Obviously crashing out the FA Cup to Morpeth Town and then that on Tuesday night. So, but the way it looks like, it's just a straight swap with Alan Armstrong, who's automatically taken over as manager up there, which is interesting to see because then they're not having a bad time in the league.
Absolutely.
I mean, everyone's had the odd one or two shock results up there at the top half, so it's hard to see what's gone on there. Again, I can probably understand one or two things once it all comes out properly.
James, journalism school now, you cannot speculate.
Okay. Oh, yeah, very true. Very true.
We can't speculate this time because basically what's going to happen is this podcast is going to go out Friday afternoon and there'll be more news. And it's a waste of time even speculating at this moment. But as we say, with the facts we've got, Alan Armstrong has taken over. Tom Wade has taken a step back. He's not completely left the club at time of recording. He's going to allow Alan to settle in first. But that's big news. Big news from Blythe.
It is indeed.
Right. So, Blythe Spartans this weekend, but this is a big game now, it transpires. Corby Town against Blythe Spartans. I think it's one of the furthest aways in the league, I think, possibly.
Yeah, it will be.
And we should say, I spoke to Martin McIntosh, obviously, at Hurst Cross. I did ask that question, what's it like to play Corby? Corby, at the moment, they're brilliant, I think. Absolutely superb. Played 7, drawn 4, lost 3, scored 2, conceded just 5. They obviously are third from bottom, but as Martin said there earlier, they are difficult to beat. This is going to be tough for Blythe.
It is, but obviously this is going to be the stepping stone that Alan's going to need to really get into that battle at this moment in time, because if you looking at the table at the moment, it's very close between like the top 7 or 8 and the bottom, I would say the bottom 11 at this moment in time, because that's, looking at the table, that's the way it is at the time. But Corby, as you can see, they're getting a point to the draws. They've only conceded 5. It tells them a very, very defensive side. So as a result, it is going to be a tough ask for Alan. The pressure they've got now is going to be absolutely astronomical compared to what they've been, say, this time last week, if you were playing Corby in the league.
Just to throw another issue into the mix, Corby Town midweek, I know it's the Senior Cup, but the Northamptonshire Senior Cup against Peterborough North Star, Corby Town won 5-0, which that's quite a lot for a team that's struggling to score. So you never know, they might have made a couple of changes there. I know it's the County Cup and it's not the same as league. I don't think Corby can stick around scoring the amount of goals they are at the moment. They will change at some point. So that's Blythe Spartans. Blythe Spartans are currently in second position. Now, we mentioned Buxton there. Buxton are now leading the league. Interestingly enough, we did cover, actually, in the interview, James, the way Buxton always start well and then tend to tail off, and the reasons for that is all to do with the best players getting snapped up from, because they're in the middle there of Yorkshire, the Midlands and the North West, and it can be difficult for Buxton to keep the best players. This weekend, Buxton are travelling to Ilkeston, who know perfectly well how hard it is to keep hold of the best players.
Yeah, I mean, the FA Cup run at Ilkeston at the moment is helping them out magnificently, especially with what the first month of the season was for them. I reckon Buxton could struggle there, in all honesty. I know Ilkeston haven't got the best league form, but again, this is about opportunity there now just to continue moving forward and get the better of what can happen.
At the minute, they're bottom of the table. They played 4 games, which is 6 less than Frickle Athletic. They're not going to stay bottom of the table, are they? And as they proved against Barwell in the FA Cup, they are a good side. So, it like with Corby, I think it's a matter of time before their position might change somewhat.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they've got a couple of loan players back from Barnes and Al who joined them pre-season. So again, this is the end of their, when we were saying last week about the pre-season still going over, this is coming to the end now, and I reckon Ilkeston will start showing the true colours a bit more now at the same time as a result. Again, you have the FA Cup run explains everything, so you're there. Again, they can just rock bottom of the table, yet they can still get results in the FA Cup. This could be interesting then, because again, Buxton, I said there, they can start well but drop nearly a couple of points. I mean, they've done it already this season, losing to Whitby Town. I mean, Whitby aren't exactly the worst, it seems.
Hey,
but
good segue, James. Whitby Town. Now, Whitby Town, they had vengeance on their mind on Tuesday night, didn't they? They went back up to Spennymoor, and this time they won by 1-0. A goal on the 90th minute from Dale Hobson. Good result, that, for Whitby. I think the FA Cup match against Spennymoor proved Whitby are a side to be reckoned with this season. This league result midweek has confirmed that, I feel. And this weekend, Whitby Town will be travelling to Stourbridge. Now, James, before we get on to Whitby Town, I'm going to mention Stourbridge now. We never mentioned the fact that on Monday evening there was the number 9 derby, a big game in the Black Country. And Black Country Radio were there Here is Adam Parks commentating on the number 9 derby.
Good cross comes in, it's headed away to start off with, but another ball comes in from the else, and then followed up with an opportunity for Lee Chilton, and he's followed home right-footed into the far corner to beat Matt Gould. We're just a minute and a half into the game, and it's Starbridge 0, Halshome in Town 1. With me tonight is Nick Pratt.
Unbelievable Halshome in Town in the derby. They pressured Starbridge, good ball into the box, and nodded down, I think, by Kennedy Diggy, and it dropped superb on the angle for Lee Chilton, who's caressed the ball into the far corner. Second goal of the season for Halshome for Lee Chilton, and a real positive start. Starbridge totally caught, totally shocked. Still trying to work out the Starbridge formation, which looks a bit strange, but very, very positive start from the Elts.
Unbelievable start. Well, we thought it'd be an interesting game, an exciting game, and boy, I don't think we thought we'd get a goal as early as the second minute, but it's the Yelts who draw first blood in this game. And we've got a corner to be taken from the far side. Looks like it's Chilton who's gone over to take it. It's swung in, puts pressure again on the fence and headed in from Anderson. The other side of the far post. And this game already is, well, I wouldn't say put to bed, but it's going to be difficult for the Glass Boys to come back into it. 5 minutes gone, Anderson heads home. Starbridge 0, Halshome in Town 2. Starbridge with the ball falling for Bembo. And into the area, and pass the ball. That's yes for Tom, for Dan Platt. And it's taken a little bit of brilliance, a little bit of confidence, which Bembo's obviously got, to take that chance and fire it right-footed, curling past the ends of Tom for Dan Platt, and it's Starbridge 2, Halshome in Town 2, game on.
Definitely game on. I have to say, good swerving shot from the edge of the box and Luke Benbow. He found a bit of space, but I was saying seconds earlier about Dan Platt, and he's got a hand to that, and he's ended up pushing it in the net. And for me, that's down to the goalkeeper. Great strike from Luke Benbow, but he really shouldn't be beaten from that distance.
So Hales Owen got off to a flyer in that one. Stourbridge got the equaliser, 2-2. An epic game by all accounts there. Thank you to Black Country Radio for providing those highlights, and Adam Parks in particular. Stourbridge, they are blowing hot and cold, majorly so. Whitby or not, Stourbridge against Whitby, what do you reckon?
Stourbridge, when you're saying before about blowing hot and cold, at the moment they are blowing more hot than anything, because again, through in the FA Cup, again, last year they had a fantastic run. I was going to say they got Ilkeston in the next round as well, of all the teams to be playing next, so one of them in the fourth qualifying round as well. This is going to be, again, another tough task for Whitby Town, especially at Stourbridge, who have just got 1,500 fans through the door. So naturally there, they'll be having a bit more of a buzz to see what could happen next. Again, Whitby, they're on fantastic form. The only team in the league not to lose so far, and the scoring as well.
Dale Hobson's not conceding. They've only conceded.
Exactly. So Whitby Town will be going down there with a lot more oomph behind them moving forward. The fans are thinking they could have a proper go at the playoffs now this year, and you can blame them. They've got the opportunity to do that.
Now, we should say, we mentioned Black Country Radio. Commentary is available of this game on Black Country Radio, but also don't forget Whitby Town Radio. We have to be fair to both Andy and Adam on the MPL show. You're both legends of the non-league world, we have to say. Now, Whitby Town are currently third. Stourbridge are in mid-table and they're 13th. Ashton United. Now, Ashton United, the management duo there, great. Superb guests they were this week. And I asked them the question, James. What's your philosophy? Not to make you sound like Louis van Gaal, but what's your philosophy? And pretty much it's to win matches by hook or by crook. And you could see that against Buxton. They were trying to get Buxton to play a certain way, and it was benefiting Ashton in the first half, not so much the second half. But Ashton, despite the change of manager, despite the change in playing personnel, they are going to be up there this season. Currently in fourth position, they're hosting Rushall Olympic this weekend. And what do you reckon for this one? This one's going to be...
I think this is going to be a game of the weekend, personally.
Game of the weekend, right, okay.
Obviously, I'm not looking at some of the other fixtures as well. I reckon that's going to be a proper tough ask for both teams there. I mean, Jody and Will Haining straight away from the balance of win. And I said it'd be interesting to see what had happened. And managers don't tend to win their first games, especially as new managers as such. So looking forward there, it's going to be hard to predict. Again, you've asked them in the past, about them players that have had that speed behind them that could beat teams like Rochelle, who hold it in the midfield and call forward. But it's, again, new management, new style, brand new atmosphere for both Jody and for Will. So again, moving forward, this is going to be game of the weekend, just to see what both teams can do against each other. And if Ashton have still got that mentality to push for the title or playoffs, but it's going to be a really, really tough task to see what they can do against Rochelle.
Now, Ilkeston, their match against Hensford Town was abandoned on Tuesday night. Floodlight failure, I think, wasn't it? It was
the 89th minute as well.
89th minute. At time of recording, we're still waiting for a word on what's going to happen with that result, because at the minute it's down on the website as Ilkeston A, Hensford Town A. I think weren't Hensford winning that one? So at time of recording, we're not sure what's going to happen with that result. Whether it's going to get replayed, whether the result still stands. Because I think once you reach a certain threshold in a match, the results do stand. But currently, based on the website, we're unsure. Hensford, though, at time of recording, are fifth in the league. And this week, on Saturday, they're travelling to the Weaver Stadium to take on Nantwich Town. Now, James, obviously midweek, Nantwich got through against Marine in an epic replay there. Congratulations to Nantwich for making it 3-2 in the end. Nantwich, it could go one of two ways, that, couldn't it, for them against Hensford? They could be knackered, they could be really up for it.
Yeah, I'm going to go on the side of them where they could be tired more than anything there, because Hensford are showing themselves more as an aggressive side, ready to go back up. Nantwich, however, they're still blowing cold at this moment in time, and I don't think, looking at the league table as well, Nantwich's record so far, they're a team with a losing record, but a good goal difference at the same time, which is very rare any time in the season to see at any level. So again, it's proven that both teams are scoring goals, but I think Hensford would be a bit too much at this moment in time for Nantwich.
Now, Spennymoor, they're currently in sixth position, and obviously they'll be looking to bounce back after that result at home to Whitby midweek. Obviously, Spennymoor are an excellent side this season. Still not quite. They're not quite there yet, are they, Stafford Rangers? Stafford Rangers midweek, obviously the 1-1 draw against Sutton Coldfield Town. That did finish 1-1, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Because on the website it's got 1-1 and Sutton Coldfield have got two goal scorers underneath, which is awfully confusing. Yeah, so 1-1 midweek there for Stafford Rangers. They're just not quite getting into gear yet. And this one on Saturday against Spennymoor, it's going to be very tough for Stafford.
Yeah, but it's going to be even tougher for Spennymoor again with looking at their next four fixtures, right, which is going to start proving if Spennymoor can compete at this level. Because then, as well as Charlie in the FA Cup, they've got Workington, Stafford and Blythe out of the next four. So, straight away, this is going to be Spennymoor's opportunity to see if they can settle in this level. I mean, you've got looking at Stafford Rangers, they've not won since the 20th of August, so 30 days since the last win. I mean, again, they've been picking up points, but it's not necessarily wins. And for a team that were looking to compete this season, Stafford Rangers need to be picking up points sooner than later. But Spennymoor, I'm looking more at what Spennymoor can do this weekend with what their next couple of games are going to be like.
We mentioned Whitby Town being, perhaps it's a surprise they're in third position. One of the teams who are a surprise package this season is definitely Michelova Sports, I feel. Currently in seventh position, they won midweek against Warrington. And they're playing Matlock Town. And Matlock Town, they've had an improvement over the last few weeks. And this one could be quite an interesting match, Michelova against Matlock.
Yeah, I mean, both teams are proving a lot more stronger than they were last year. Looking up again, last year's table, both from down the bottom end of most of the season. So again, see two improving sides as they are, and also both teams in the MPL Academy, I think they play each other this week as well, so it's more the youth and the first team against each other at the same time. And always said we had the game of the week with Ashton and Rushdale. This is going to be the second game of the day, I reckon, because it's going to be just proving more what both teams have done compared to last year. I think Michelova have got more to prove than Matlock in this game.
Now, this weekend, Warrington Town will be travelling to Colville. Obviously, Warrington lost midweek. Colville, though, got beat 4-1 at home to Matlock Town. And it's going to be an interesting one, this one. I think Warrington will be looking to bounce back. Colville, the last couple of results haven't been the best.
No, I mean, again, Colville, out of the four teams that came up, I've got the most work to do, as I said, in the pre-season preview. Colville have got a lot more to prove. They had a tougher beginning, and again, to get knocked last week when they got knocked out for Mansfield was a bit of a shock. And I think that's what they're struggling. They'll be struggling to get back for now. I mean, again, they went 4-1 down during the midweek to Matlock. Not an easy
and
four, place to go.
4-2, the last league game as well against Marine. It's
that's on me. So they're starting to ship some goals at this moment in time, but it's not. Looking at the last couple of games, it seems that they're on form rather than teams expecting to beat them. So it's not been the easiest of runs. But I reckon if they can get some against Warrington, looking at the next three as well, Grantham, Ashton and Mickle over.
Next up in the league table, we've got Marine. Marine this weekend, well, they'll be travelling to Fritcliffe Athletic. Fritcliffe Athletic. It's an interesting one, this one, isn't it? Because Marine have kind of an epic start to the season. They've dropped off a bit now. Fritcliffe had a disastrous start to the season, but are now starting to string the results together.
Yeah, I mean, Marine will be the outright favourites for this game and be looking at the forms, but as you said there, Frickley have now started to get a couple of wins under the belt, and this is what they needed. The result they needed with Blythe was what they needed. It wasn't necessary, it was required to make sure they can just keep competing, just to get that pressure off them, and now, again, a point off. If they get a win on Saturday, you can go as high as 12th place as well. So it's necessary for that result, but it's the games again they've played so far which is going to come into Frickley later on in the year, and the goals they've already conceded. Marine will be looking at it as an opportunity for them just to revive their season a little bit as well, especially after going out the FA Cup. I think that one's going to be a tough ask for either team, but I think Marine will just slip past Frickley there.
Now, Hales Owen Town, we mentioned them earlier. A cracking first 10 minutes in the number 9 derby for Hales Owen. They had the bit between the teeth, good and proper. And this weekend, Hales Owen this weekend are travelling to Barwell. And I just get the impression now that the team will want to say to the manager, last Saturday, let's bounce back now.
Yeah, I mean, again, that was something Barwell didn't expect to happen. But again, Ilkeston had more to prove in that game just to get their season up and running. So I don't think that would play too much on them. But again, with the midweek
result as well, though, against Grantham, the 1-0 draw. Yeah. I just think, you know, they need to put a marker down here. But it's going to be tough against Hales Owen.
It is. I mean, Hales Owen have been a team that have been on form again, and they needed to be on form. The result against Salvage, again, a necessity for him just to be on bounce back. And again, well, not sorry, not bounce back, just to keep their momentum going forward in the position they are at this moment in time. And they've got another team with a good FA Cup run at this moment in time, and proving what they can actually achieve. It's not something that they've not been able to do for a while, I don't feel. And I think Hales Owen will want to prove that against Barwell more than Barwell need to revive themselves.
So Barwell are currently in 12th position, Stourbridge in 13th, Nantwich Town in 14th, 15th place is currently Stafford Rangers. In 16th place, we've got Workington Town. Oh, Workington Town, Rugby League. We've got Workington. we've got Workington. And Workington, we heard from one of the managers from Saturday, and obviously they had a midweek game postponed due to the Marine-Nantwich match in the FA Cup. And they were saying, well, maybe it's a bit of a blessing, this, because we've got players here who've taken knocks, and it'll be good to have the rest. So we're talking about a refreshed Workington side against a Grantham side who, well, with the draw midweek, they're not doing too bad at the moment. Oh, it's laser, but they're being Grantham, aren't they?
They are, and again, Grantham have always been the Grantham we know.
Grantham has always been Grantham.
It has been. Yes. So, yeah, looking at the last couple of games as well, this isn't the work. When we're saying that this is the Grantham we know, this isn't the Workington we know properly anyway. I mean, the fans have had the town as a whole has had a bit of a slump recently. The Rugby League side's just been relegated.
Whitehaven too.
And Whitehaven as well. So the whole area as a whole, Carlisle haven't started well in the Football League. So naturally, this is something where Workington now need to build on. I know they've had the FA Cup run, but whilst the section they've been in, they would expect it to be doing well in the draw. So naturally, it's not something that we'd expect of him. So again, this is going to be Workington's opportunity just to pick up that momentum and keep going, ready for when they play Matlock in the FA Cup in a few weeks' time. I mean, again, another team that haven't won a league game since the 20th of August. It seems to be a bit of a going thing here for teams down the bottom end.
The last game on Saturday now, Sutton Coldfield Town against Skelmersdale United. A good result for Sutton Coldfield in the week. Both teams really need 3 points. Both teams can't get 3 points, unfortunately. So something's got to give. Probably a draw.
Yeah, probably a draw. But Sutton Coldfield again, they can't find that form they had from last year. I mean, again, 4 draws, 4 defeats isn't a bad start in most cases, but it's looking at the goals against again there. But I think Sutton Coldfield could, if they play that they did against Hereford, have got a lot more to prove. And again, looking at the next few fixtures for Sutton Coldfield, they're not easy at all. Again, they've got Marine and Hensford as the next two.
Just to say, we're going to have a full FA Cup preview on next week's Evo Stick NPL show. The NPL show is back for September, pre-recorded live at the Heat and Hop. So we'll have a full FA Cup preview next week. But just to say, on Tuesday, we've got a full plethora of fixtures. I'm just going to read them out. And the first one I'm going to read out, it's got Boom Banger Bang written all over it. So here we go, everyone. This is a match taking place on Tuesday. Blyth against Spennymoor. Boom! That's a big game.
It is.
We've also got Buxton against Corbett. Grantham against Colville. Hills Owen against Ilkeston. Marine against Sutton Coldfield. Matlock against Frickley. Rushall are hosting Barwell. Skem are hosting Workington. Stafford Rangers against Stourbridge. Warrington Town against Nantwich Town. And if the hits couldn't stay away for too long, Whitby Town against Ashton United. My goodness. What a September.
It is.
James Hayes from the Evo Stick NPL Facebook group. How can people get in touch with the Facebook group and interact with one another in a camaraderie and loving way?
Facebook.com/groups/the NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group.
By the way, I think I saw Joyce here on Tuesday night.
Did you?
I think I did. I think it was Joyce. I never wanted to go up to him because I don't like going up to people and going, hi, and them going, who are you? So I never did. But I think he nearly tripped in front of me and I put my arm out to try and grab him. But he didn't trip anyway. But I think that was my interaction with Joyce.
So he'll let us know up for on the wall or on the NPL show next week, surely.
Thank you. So, James Hayes from the Evo Stick NPL Facebook group will be hearing from you at the Heat and Hop next week on the NPL show. But you have a lovely week and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
And that's nearly the end of this week's Evo Stick Extra. A big thank you to all my guests on this week's show. A big thank you to Ashton United for hosting the first half of the show at Hurst Cross. And a big thank you to all the contributions from Ilkeston TV, from Spennymoor TV, from BBC Radio Cumbria, and James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. We'll be back next week with an all-new Evo Stick NPL show recorded at the Heat and Hop. That's the monthly show for September. There'll also be a Evo Stick Division 1 show out as well next Friday. But we're ending this week's show on a somber note, but hopefully also on an optimistic one as well. Obviously, there's one match we've not covered on this week's show, and that was Shaw Lane against Romulus from last weekend in the Division 1 South. It's been a very difficult, tragic and horrendous week for non-league football, but in particular for Shaw Lane, for Brighouse and everyone associated with the footballer Daniel Wilkinson. And last week it felt like the football community came together around this match between Shaw Lane and Romulus. Brighouse has already announced that they'll be wearing training tops, donning the name of Daniel Wilkinson for the rest of the season, while there's also been a new foundation set up called the Daniel Wilkinson Foundation. Have a look on Google for that. There's also a crowdfunding appeal on justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Dan Wilkinson Foundation. The foundation has been set up to save lives and to help prevent this from happening again. By donating to the foundation and with the support of the FA and the county FA, every penny raised will go to providing screenings for all footballers at grassroots level and to assist clubs in purchasing defibrillators and to provide training in CPR. this past week, Thomas Fahini, who's a friend of the show, obviously, and a non-league reporter for Radio Yorkshire, he caught up with Shore Lane manager Craig Elliott for his thoughts on the match which just took place this past weekend, as well as this appeal.
Well, Craig, I suppose, first of all, when talking about the tragedy which happened last Monday, I mean, just how has the past week been? I know for the players and for yourself and for everyone involved in the club, it must have been a really tough time.
Yeah, it's just been surreal, really. It's obviously things that you don't plan to have to deal with in your life, especially with your involvement in football. And it's just been so hard. Personally, I found it very difficult. There's been a lot of different things that's happened over the week that's been hard to deal with. But like anything else with these things, you've just got to try and get through them and try and make sure that his immediate family are looked after and everything's done in the right way, really.
I mean, when this game was taking place against Brighouse Town, was it a case that immediately everyone knew something had gone wrong, or you know, did it take a bit of time to work out the severity of the issue?
Yeah, I think you sort of start off thinking, "Oh, he'll come round, he'll sit up." You know what I mean? It sort of starts off like that, and then obviously as it escalated pretty quickly, it was obvious that there was a massive problem. The people in hand were fantastic. Our physio, John, the Brighouse physio, people associated with Brighouse were just fantastic how quickly they responded to everything. And then within a matter of minutes, we sort of got the ambulance on its way. And it just sort of escalated really quickly. And that, I think that was the thing, really. You don't expect it. And then it just got to a terrible state, really.
I was going to say, I mean for yourself and for everyone really involved with the club, how has this past week been in terms of, you know, trying to pay your full respect to him as well? I know his parents wanted the game to go ahead, and you know, a lot of gestures have been made by the club. How important is it that message was put? Just how important his life had been?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it sort of went from definitely we didn't want to play Saturday, definitely we didn't think it was the right thing to do, and obviously I went and met his parents last Wednesday, I think, you know. I had a conversation with them, and then sort of after coming out of that meeting, it was sort of obvious that it seemed like a fitting way to pay our respects and a tribute to Dan, not only as a fantastic footballer but as a person, really. And it seemed the right thing to do, the more we talked about it. And obviously the club did an amazing job putting things on, getting the stand sorted, organising it. The players as well were so brave, and I've told them that, to just agree as a group to play, and we all pulled together. And in the end, I'm glad we did, because although it was an extremely difficult day for us all, it was a fantastic sort of way to celebrate what he's done in his life, and ultimately a fantastically talented footballer. And it was so pleasing for his family to come and be able to see the love and support that there has been throughout the country, never mind sort of locally.
I was going to say, when you talk about the, you know, the non-league community being in force, it really has been a case. The amount of clubs which have sent messages of well wishes to his family, and the amount of teams which have held a minute's silence or a minute's applause, it really just shows you how the community has got together.
Yeah, I've been overwhelmed, to be honest with you, with the sort of non-league football family. It's the messages I've received, the phone calls, the emails, the kind words, and just from all different areas of football, and it's just been superb, really, the support. And that's why, again, I just sort of felt it was the right thing to do today, because his parents and his sister got to see that firsthand, really. And although, obviously, it was difficult and terrible for them to have to go through that on Saturday, I think in the long term, they would be so happy that they came and actually saw for themselves this sort of love and affection, like I said, throughout the country, and especially in the non-league world.
I mean, you know, you go on social media on that day when, you know, the unfortunate news was announced. The amount of players, obviously, played for quite a few non-league teams. So, you know, the amount of players that were on my timeline saying, you know, what a great player he'd been and what a great teammate he'd been. I mean, for yourself, you know, how long did you know him for? Because obviously he only joined the club, well, a couple of months ago. How much of a relationship did you build with him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we talked to him and he joined us in June. So from that point on, though, he did leave a massive impression on me, because I mean, you can easily say this, but he was such a fantastic, warm lad off the pitch. I mean, always on time, always working hard. And then from a football point of view, he was fantastic. I mean, it showed he played every friendly for me. He started every league match up to last Monday. And he was so well liked in the dressing room. And that just shows really what a character he was. And then you hear the messages from other ex-teammates and ex-managers, and they all say the same thing. So, great lad, absolutely fantastic player. And it's just such a sad thing that's happened. I just can't get my head around it, really. For my own personal, as a parent, it's his parents that I just, you know what I mean? You don't know what to say to him. And having to wait and meet him at the hospital on Monday night will live with me forever, really. It was just so heartbreaking.
I mean, off the back of this, the Daniel Wilkinson Foundation has been set up and the aim is to raise £50,000. I mean, it'd be a fantastic tribute to him, wouldn't it, if that money could be raised and the great work that could be done with the money?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing now. I mean, we've sort of like tried to, like his parents say, they want to try and get something positive, and if it helps saving one life or two lives, or even, for, you know what I mean, it's worthwhile doing this, and that's the aim now, really. And we can play a massive part in that, Shoreline. In promoting it and trying to get the word out there. And I think, obviously, it's something that's close to everybody's hearts, really, that there is a realisation that this thing is, this condition is sort of, it has been happening every now and again, and it's probably getting more popular and more sort of a need for screening to be involved and CPR training and defibs in more non-league grounds. Because the more we do of this, the more lives we're going to save. Simple as that, really. That's our drive. That's my personal drive as well as manager, that we are going to keep fundraising. This is not the end. We'll keep doing as much as we possibly can, and the family know that. And I just hope that everybody sort of contributes, really, and donates whatever they can, whether it's a pound or more. It's a worthwhile cause.
And just finally, going back to Dan, the plans of tributes, and you know, are there any more plans in place right now, or is it a case that you're just going to see what happens for the next few weeks and then make a decision?
Well, yeah, we've obviously talked to Brigalf about having a game every season for the Dan Wilkinson Trophy. And then as a group of players, we've talked about doing some fundraising throughout the season. So, but like we said, Saturday was important to get out of the way. We've obviously got the funeral next Monday. It's important that we get that out of the way, and then we sort of look to get fundraising in place. And like I said, this is not the end. It's not a matter of just leaving it as it is. I think the club, it's our responsibility now to keep his memory alive and also do what we can to contribute as much money towards this, like I said, a very vital cause.